In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We're waiting. The church is waiting. We're not celebrating yet. We're not decorating yet. We're not overjoyed yet. We're waiting. We are waiting for Christ to return. And make no mistake, He is coming soon. The signs are all there. Comets streak across the sky. The moon turns to blood. You just saw it this past year. It's beautiful, yet also a bit eerie. Solar eclipses and flares are a bit more common now, and our knowledge of them has greatly increased. They're magnificent, and yet also dangerous if one of those huge mass of solar particles happens to hit the Earth. Forget the scientific explanation behind them all and take them for what they truly are, signs. They are signs given by God to testify to His coming. Science simply tries to figure out how God is sending them. For God is always working through His creation. Even the rising of the sun every day testifies to the great resurrection of all flesh at the last day. It is His creation and it points to Him. So don't ignore it. Don't write it off. Pay attention. Christ is coming soon. Always watch. Always pray. You need not look up into the heavens to recognize these signs. They are here on earth. Tsunamis, earthquakes, storms. They can strike and sweep us away at a moment's notice without any warning at all. One day they occur in one part of the world, the very next they occur on halfway around the world. Sea levels seem to be rising, warming in the process. Maybe man's to blame, maybe not. Maybe it's cyclical, maybe not. At any rate, world leaders gathered in Paris, anxiously trying to figure out how to stop it. They're nervous about the future, the great unknown. Nations war against nations, people fight against people, world powers commit acts of aggression against one another. Perhaps it was an accident, perhaps not, who knows? Men, women, and children seek to eke out a living in war-torn cities, just trying to survive. Radical Islam has advanced globally, even into our own backyard. We have enemies. And yet we're not always sure where they are anymore. If there was anxiety and anguish about the future 2,000 years ago when our Lord spoke these words, we're witnessing complete pandemonium in our day. So always watch, always pray. The universe is unraveling at its very seams, groaning as in the pains of childbirth. Sin has taken its toll on it. Man has abused it. Yet still God sustains it as a sign. Always watch. Wait patiently. Christ is coming soon. But like a dog who sees a rabbit, we are easily distracted. Especially in this month of December, those distractions reach their all-time high. House decorating, cookie baking, gift buying, all needs to be done on top of our regular chores and work, and we don't get an extra week, an extra hour in the day. Parties need to be planned. Parties to go to, and we get exhausted from all we have to do. So much is on our plate that we hardly have time to just sit down and relax at times. And so what's the first thing that suffers? Our prayers. Our devotions, because these other things somehow take precedence. We end up determining a good December by if we got a good deal on a gift. It's hard to find the right gift. It's even harder to find it at the right price. And so we pat ourselves on the back when we accomplish both. What are all these things but distractions? Trying to take our minds off of Christ's coming. Yes, we're waiting. We know Christmas is coming. Forget what the world says. They can call that day whatever they want. We know Christmas is coming. But does it really matter if our house is prepared, if our heart is not? Every year, the world builds up Christmas to be the most magical time of the year, and it always falls flat. It can't live up to the hype. And yet people are trying to escape. They're trying to escape these signs. They're troubled by them. And they just want one day, one month out of the year to believe in something better, to believe in a magical time of the year, to believe in the goodness of humanity. And frankly, it's more plausible to believe in Santa Claus than it is in the goodness of humanity, according to Scripture. And so they pump their Christmas music, decorate stores, have holiday sales for months and months on end, just trying to capture a brief moment of those warm, fuzzy feelings and nostalgic stories, trying to hold on to something good, something better than what they see in this world. The earlier the better. For nature is not letting up, and men are in anguish. Advent means nothing, because waiting to them means nothing. It's a futile effort, because they truly don't trust Christ to come and bring peace and joy. They'll find it themselves. They want happiness, joy, peace, gladness, but in the way that they determine, before they have to get back to the realities of life. And so it really is not surprising that countries worry. It really is not surprising that they gather anxiously to try to fix this war-torn, climate-changing world. They're trying to stitch the earth back together, stick it with an epidural to hide the pain, but that's all it does. It masks the warnings. If they can just fix climate, if they can just have peace on earth, well, then perhaps the end won't come. You see, without even recognizing it, they're trying to prevent Christ from coming by ignoring these signs, trying to make them stop, because they really don't want him to come and take away everything they love so dear. So be careful. Be careful, or else your hearts will be weighed down by all these distractions, and you will find yourself in the same boat as they. So how fitting is this text during this time? That gospel text reminds us that we really are not waiting for Christmas. That has happened already 2,000 years ago. We're not ancient Israel waiting for the Messiah to be born. We are the New Testament church. We are waiting for Christ to return. We prepare for his visit. We wait patiently. We wait watching. We pray. No decorations yet, but our hearts are decorated with repentance and faith. We're waiting for something better, something fuller, something lasting, something eternal. Not some magical time of the year, but we want the realities that are ours because of the cross of Christ. And so we're waiting. And if Christ does not return before December 25th, then we will decorate. And we will sing, and we will rejoice, and we will run with the shepherds to Bethlehem and bow with the Magi, overjoyed that our God has become man for us. And so today, the church has prayed, "Stir up our hearts, O Lord." Understand that what we are praying for. Our hearts are not stirred up by soft music or comfort foods. Neither are they stirred up by our favorite cookies or nostalgic stories. We are not asking God to give us warm, fuzzy feelings, a restful holiday, or even a good time with family. But we are asking God to stir up our hearts, to poke us, to prod us, to disturb us, to move us into action against our own will. And he does this with a hearty dose of reality. You just saw it this past week in San Bernardino, and a call yet again to repentance and faith, for he is coming soon. Stir up our hearts, O Lord. Drive away these distractions. Get rid of our worries. Defend our hearts, for that's where the battleground is. They can call a Christmas tree whatever they want. Who cares? The battle is in your heart. as Satan seeks to supplant the preparation for Christ's return with something else that you deem more important. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, as we wait patiently for your return. And then we see that the trees have their leaves. The leaves are the chaos and anguish among men. He is coming. And Christ does not tell us to worry or to fear or even to fix it, though we do take care of the creation he's given. But he tells us to watch, to be careful, but to watch, to pray, for our redemption is coming. These signs are the same signs that occurred on Good Friday. The sun refused to shine. The moon hid. The stars fell from their beauty. Darkness covered the whole land as creation testified to its creator, hanging, bleeding, dying for you. It is finished. The earth shook, and the rocks split as he bowed his head, giving up his spirit. No one else sang his praises. The children were now silent. The women wept, and the disciples hid in fear. So the rocks cried out to him and his glory. The maker of heaven and earth hung limp and lifeless for you, to save you. And the centurion understood these signs. Surely he was the Son of God, he declared. The signs he saw are the same that you still see in creation today. Creation continues to testify to Christ and to his cross. It will not be silenced. It will not stop. For this same Jesus who has won your salvation by his cross is coming on the last day in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory to pick you up in his arms and whisk you away into the realms of heaven as he sings his songs of love to you. So yes, watch. Christ is coming for you. Do not be distracted. The decorating, the cookies, all that stuff is fun. It has its place. It's good to do. Even those warm, fuzzy feelings and nostalgic memories, they have their place. But do not let them take the place of God in your heart. Prepare your heart first through repentance and prayer, daily prayer. And then prepare your house if you have time. Don't worry about the world. Don't fret and fear as the world does. They're scrambling around trying to fix it. Instead of watching, and so that day will close on them unexpectedly like a trap. Then the Muslims, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, the atheists, and the agnostics will see whom they really were worshiping, and they will go to be with their God, the devil, forever. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere God's name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. As devastating as these signs on earth can be, as emotionally taxing as they are, understand your God has given them to you for your good, to prepare you so that you watch and pray for his coming. This earth is not your home. So why worry? Why fret? Heaven is waiting for you. And your God is in control of all that you see. He causes nations to rise, and he tears them down, and yet the word of the Lord remains forever. Disasters come and go, and yet his word to you remains firm forever. Acts of terror are committed at home and abroad, and yet his word to you remains firm forever. It is your anchor in the midst of these swells, your rock and your defense. Because that word is Christ, your Redeemer, who comforts and uplifts you and holds you in his omnipotent, pierced hands. So yes, watch and pray. Pray whenever you see bad news. Pray for those who endure the brunt of it, that they may repent and have faith in Christ. And then secondarily, that everything may turn out okay on this earth. Pray for yourself that you may live in repentance and faith as you eagerly await your redemption to stream forth on the clouds of heaven. For it is coming. It is coming. Christ is coming. Your salvation. Your maker. He is coming for you to save you. The signs are all there. His word is right before you. So do not brush it off simply because it's so painful to look at times. Don't ignore it simply because it breaks your heart. But see them as signs of Christ's coming. Pray all the more. Pray all the more. Always watch. Always pray. The trees have their leaves. Summer is coming. The night is almost over. The sun is rising. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.